This is the pastor spot.
This is the pastor spot.
And your guest today is Pastor Steve.
I am Pastor Steve Whitaker. I do it every week.
So welcome, everyone.
Hey, I want to welcome you to the pastor spot. I'm here this evening with Linda Sims, who does The Voice of the People, which is the show on before this one. Terry couldn't make it in to run everything, so Linda graciously said that she'd step in. Terry was flooded in today with his truck, he said.
Yes.
But, hey, it's great to have you. I was going to be a guest on your show a year or so ago and wasn't able to make it, so I guess now we can do that, right?
I guess we can.
Anyway, it's good to be here. It's a rainy, soggy day in Ohio, which we see a lot of those in the spring.
Many.
Oh my! You know, as if people weren't complaining about being depressed enough, and then they look outside and rain. But you know, it'll go away. The sun will shine again, just like it always does, and that's certainly a blessing. But this is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our number is 740-494-2222. Call me anytime. If I'm not there, leave a message. I will get back with you. But tonight I want to talk about a few things and see if we can't get Linda in on this discussion a little bit. And I just kind of like to talk about kind of the atmosphere out there and how the Lord is going to use and how the Lord continually uses negatives and turns them for the positive.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that's something that I'm witnessing every day, that I'm seeing out there. And I'm sure you've seen some of that too. Anything off the top of your head that you've noticed that has been used for the good during this time?
Well, number one, I do want to say this. I think that we've had a large amount of dark days.
Yes.
We do have some sunshine, but it seems to be unusual to have so many dreary days, like day after day and day after day. That also adds to the morale of people.
It really does.
Yeah. And when that sun shines, boy, your face lights up and you have this big, broad grin on your face and you're ready to get out there.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And we're ready for some sunshine.
Yes.
And on another side of that, to parallel that, you know, Jesus Christ is the sun, and I'm ready to let the sun shine in there too.
Absolutely.
Because that's going to give us the strength that we need to carry on each and every day.
And the other thing, as far as the bad turned into good, coronavirus, COVID-19 is not good, but the number predictions that they had predicted when they first started shutting down the country and all that, Fauci had estimated at least 100,000 people,
mm-hmm.
which was 1% of our population.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't turn out to be that. I think God has stayed his hand some against this virus.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we know that it's not over with yet,
no.
but we're seeing, you know, seeing the numbers go the right way.
Right.
And we really, I think we really need to get people outside,
mm-hmm.
and meeting again. We've been meeting as we can at the park with a drive-in service, and it's great to see those people just to smile and wave and how are you doing and that kind of thing. It's so important. But you know, a lady said something last night. A friend of mine said something in response to a situation that was going back and forth on social media. She said that, you know, she was talking about our young people,
mm-hmm.
and our young people they had to leave school early.
True.
They lost their spring and their late spring sports. They lost all their summer ball playing. They lost their graduation.
Yes, they
most
did.
Places are not having Memorial Day celebrations. Most places have already shut down their 4th of July celebrations.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as adults, we can kind of deal with these things. But, you know, we don't often think of the kids and where the kids are. And, you know, they look forward to this. I can remember being a little boy. And as a little boy, and, you know, you probably grew up in the same era I did, roughly. And we didn't have all the stimulus things that we do today.
Right.
We didn't have the electronics. People didn't go. Everyone didn't go to Disney. That kind of thing.
Oh, no.
You know.
That's not the question.
Yeah, we were lucky if we got to go to Lake Erie once in a great, great while, and that's if Dad could save the money for gas to get us there.
Mm-hmm.
But you looked forward to these different events.
Yes.
Like Memorial Day was a huge deal. Guess what? We get to go on a picnic and do something different and might get to see some different family. And those were exciting times.
Yes. Yes.
And everything was so huge. And when I think of these kids today, I think that kids in a child's mind, they still look forward to these events.
I think so, too.
And get excited about
yes.
it. And then when they hear they're not, let's not forget the needs of our children in all of this.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of times, adults, it's easy for us to sit there and talk back and forth, and sometimes a lot of negative talk about what could happen, whose fault it is, what during. And you got to remember those little ears.
Yes.
Remember
yes.
that little song in church, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above who is looking down in love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear.
Yes.
And then there was other verses like, be careful, little eyes, what you see.
Yes.
Be careful, little mouth, what you say.
Yes.
Well, you know, let's remember there are those little ears that listening. And kids really, parents don't often think of kids suffering from depression, but they do. Sorry, folks, just bear with that phone thing, and then it'll go off in a minute.
I understand what you're saying, because they have feelings, too.
Yeah, they really do.
And they know something's not right.
They know something's not right. And I think that, you know, one thing we struggle with in society today is you know, I look at the pyramid of how things were meant to be through God and through His Word and what He set up, the dynamic of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And there was God first,
right.
The husband and wife second. And then the children,
true.
In that order, and then the others,
right?
And others. You know, we've kind of taken the kids out of that in a lot of cases, and it's just been kind of like it starts with me,
right.
And what I want, and once I get everything I want and my entertainment done and my time and my space, get my job done, which we do that for the family, then that's just all I need to do.
But once again, you're talking about a typical family. And a lot of families anymore is not typical.
They're not typical.
The father's already removed.
Yeah, a lot of them were never there to
yes,
begin with.
Right.
And, you know, that's something else that I think people miss a lot today in society, is understanding how hard it is for the single mom today.
There you go.
Because the single mom, and let's be fair, I know some single dads out
yes,
there that are
I
carrying the ball, too.
Yes.
And, you know, they go out and they work. They have to work every day,
mm-hmm.
but then they've got to somehow figure out how they're going to come home and be that parent, and be that ear when the kids need it. And you know, it's funny. I told a friend of mine several years ago, because most people, if they're younger anyway and become a single parent, they would like a relationship again, and they would like to maybe get married. And I was talking to a friend of mine, called me to come over
mm-hmm.
one day. This has been 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
And he said, Steve, I got a problem. He said, my boy, I just got a call from the school, and my son's in trouble. He was hurting himself at school, and his other boy was doing it. He goes, man, I don't know what to do. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, I've watched you over the last year or two since your wife left. And I said, it's girlfriend after girlfriend after girlfriend after girlfriend. I said, these boys are acting out. I said, you need to, I said, try something for me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you take the next 4 to 5 years till these boys graduate from high school, and you focus on doing what's right, staying close to God, and put all your attention on those boys
yes.
and their needs.
Yes.
And I said, trust me, you're still going to be a young man when they graduate. You've got all the time in the world for those ladies.
Mm-hmm.
But put yourself on hold right now and take care of those boys. And he thought a minute, never said a word to me,
mm-hmm.
but he did it.
Good.
And it was amazing because well, it should have been amazing. I knew what would probably happen. The boys straightened up. They did well.
Sure
they finished school.
Yep.
And when the boys were gone, he went back to doing, you know, looking at dating or whatever.
Yeah.
But the point is, I think that parents sometimes, many times, the kids get left behind.
Yes, they do.
They truly
yes, they do.
And what did Jesus say about offending any of the little ones? You know, it's better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you be drowned in the depths of the sea.
Yes.
And we have to remember our little ones and the importance of it. I've talked many times on this show, and I won't get into it tonight, but how abuse of children is one of the things that sends me to the moon.
I can't deal with it.
You know, Linda, several years ago, I had applied for the Columbus Police Department, and this was, I'm taking you way back now. I was a young man. And anyway, it looked like things were rolling along and going to do pretty well. Mm-hmm. And I started understanding and seeing the amount of domestic abuse cases that these police officers deal with. And I realized right then and there that I couldn't be a police officer. I couldn't deal with it. Somebody was going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm. You mean from you, right?
From me.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't deal with going to a house and seeing where kids were being abused. I just, and I didn't do it. And of course, the Lord led me into ministry, which he had called me to already earlier, and I ignored. But, you know, and I got my blessing. I got to work with children, and I work with kids in Sunday school classes to begin right. with, and 4-H, and FCA, and then being a pastor and doing stuff with youth groups. So, and I still do that. Mm-hmm. When we're allowed to get back together again, I'll be doing pizza with pastor again on Tuesday nights. But, you know, the Lord's allowed me to work with kids. But I really wish today that parents would sit back and think, you know what? Here's the thing. If it may be hard to put yourself aside and say, right now, these kids have to be my world. God and these kids have to be my world. But I think the thing that people don't realize many times is if they do know the Lord, if they trusted the Lord as their Lord and Savior, he's going to honor that decision they make. And they're going to find great joy out of what they did. When they look back on those years, they're going to say, thank you, Lord, that you put it in my ear to stay home, take care of these kids, put them first, help them with their homework, and let them know that mom or dad, whichever it is, truly loves them.
Right.
And there's that other aspect sometimes that is very hard on kids, too. You know, when you have a parent.
Right.
Whether they're a good parent or a bad parent, they're a parent.
They're a parent.
And kids love their dad and kids love their mom.
Yes, they do.
And many times when that separation happens, you know, you hear nothing but the family tearing dad down or the family tearing mom down.
Right.
Man, it rips those kids' hearts
out.
Yes,
it does. They love them both.
They love them both. And it is not fair to them. And you'll see parents play kids against the other parent.
Oh.
And I've got, it's interesting, I've got a friend that has been married twice, and he has children, and his ex-wife, mm-hmm. and he have a really good arrangement and agreement that they are going to do what's right for the kids together, regardless of how they feel about each other.
That's good.
And you can see the difference in the kids. In their respect, in what they do, in their schooling, you can see it. And when kids are played against one parent or other, there's going to be some acting out.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Always. You can look forward to that.
Yeah. You know, I grew up in a good home. My mother was a wonderful, godly lady, and she was my rock until 8 years ago when she went home to be with the Lord.
Okay.
But when I was 11... I was 13. I don't know where 11 came from. When I was 13, my dad was killed in an auto accident. And
that's a young, tender age, too.
Oh, it was a tender age. My dad and I were extremely close.
Yeah.
And not only did I then deal with my loss, but I had to witness my siblings' loss, and I had to live in a house with a mom that cried herself to sleep every night.
Mm-hmm.
And with me across the hallway.
Right.
And I don't think that we often understand how traumatic it is for young people. And, you know, in my case, I was a good play actor.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought everything was fine. I did act out. I became a little more. I did some good things. I did some bad things. But I became more of a class clown. I became more of not... being the kid that was probably going to get in trouble in school.
Okay, you started that route.
I started that route. And you know, it's really funny. I didn't even recognize it at the time. But when I was really little, up until that point, I was a really kind-hearted little kid.
Okay.
I would, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying this is the kind of kid I was. And I would get my allowance. It was usually a quarter. And I would go to the store and buy something for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I bought her this little plant. It was like, I think it was a philodendron. And when she died, she still had that plant 50 years later.
How big was it then?
Well, philodendrons grow and grow, and
right,
you're revining.
Right,
yeah, and the cuts had been everywhere. And she still had that. And you know, but those were the kind of things I did as a child. And I was kind of a tender-hearted kid.
Right.
Well, after that point, after that 13-year-old age, I went through a period of probably over 10 years, maybe 15, where I rode the fence with God. I didn't trust people. I didn't. And partly, too, because some of the relationships I had after that with people were cut very short abruptly and not necessarily. I didn't see it as.
But how do you deal with death, even as a child?
It's hard.
As a teenager.
To think that you can't talk to Dad and to think that you can't be there with them.
That's your rock, you know.
Yeah, I mean, my dad was a very loving father. You'd take naps with him on the couch, and he'd put his arm around you and snore in your ear, and you'd reach in his pocket and take change, and he knew you were doing it. But no, and I see kids today that lose a parent, and they come back to school, and everyone within 6 months expects them to be the same kid they were before, and it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
They need that extra. They need something. Now,
I
got pretty stubborn
and
felt, look, my dad raised me. No one's going to step in. So I wasn't exactly.
That's another attitude I'm not going to pick up, too.
You know? I wasn't going to listen to the people that tried to mentor me or come alongside.
Yeah.
All I did was end up making them mad, and then they turned away from me. and then my attitude is, well, there goes another one that didn't stick around.
Right.
You know,
right.
And you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And the more people walk away from you, there was one instance where it was almost like a final blow, where there was someone that had walked away. And you know, I just, from that point on, I really got about me. What I wanted.
Right.
I walked away from the Lord. I, by the grace of God, I married a wonderful woman 6 months out of high school. And we're married today. It's been,
we're
42 years, and we've raised 4 wonderful children.
That's beautiful.
And, but that probably kept me in bounds.
I'm sure she
and
did.
From, but you know, as I look back on it, at the time, I didn't think that losing a father or that really caused that big, you know, I just thought, well, I'll live and go on. And, you know, I knew I was upset. But looking back on it now, it really had a hard impact on me, so much harder.
Wow.
And then a few years later, when I said, okay, God, I give up. I've done it Steve's way long enough. It's your turn. You know, I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
This isn't working doing it my way.
Right.
And what was really funny was the attitude on my heart started going back to that little kid that always wanted to spend his allowance on his mom, to be kind to people, to do things.
That's beautiful.
And you know, God restored that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was probably a 15-year period where I could be quite abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder sometimes, you know, with our young people, we see so much hurt in the world with them. And I don't know that people realize what they go through. I've told my grandchildren and some of the kids that I work with that are in junior high and high school, I've said, you know, when you've got that kid that comes to school and he's just really being a jerk or really acting out, I said, remember something. You don't know what he left at home when he came to school that day.
That's true.
You don't know. You don't know what's going on in the home. Mm-hmm. You don't know what he had to put up with. You don't know what's ripping him apart inside.
No.
And a lot of times that acting out is just frustration. And it was very difficult for me because one thing that was hard, and I remember looking back on it, was if I was going to have any money whatsoever, I had to work a job after school.
Right.
And I did gas stations. I did all that stuff when I was a kid. Paper routes, the whole bit. Which there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong.
Good thing you had that mind.
But I also wanted to do sports and things, and they would often be a conflict with each other.
Right.
So when I would take some time off from working and do a sport, then the kids want to go out after games and things like this. And, you know, they may be in a position where their parents were able to give them money to go. And in my situation, if I wasn't working, I had no money. So it was, and the other another thing, too, is looking at, you know, kids would talk about, Dad and I are going hunting this weekend.
Yeah.
Or Dad and I are going fishing, or my dad's helping me on this. And I and to me, that was just, I think it might have given me an attitude.
I'm sure it did. Your dad wasn't there for you to do that with anymore. You know, and that void you had wasn't filled.
Right. And I had friends that, I had some friends that were pretty well off. And my mama, bless her heart, man, we were poor as dirt. Mom, when Dad died.
Some Whitakers.
Huh? Well, you know, there's a lot of Whitakers in Marion. And, you know, I'm not related to any of them.
Okay.
Closely. But, however, I've talked to some of them. And back before we all came out of Virginia and North Carolina.
Okay.
But we're talking generations ago.
Right.
So I imagine I'm related somewhere.
Could be. I was going to school. I think I went to school with some Whitakers.
But, you know, it's, where was I at? Now I lost my train of thought. No, you're right. I just think that, you know, when you have that time when fathers do things with sons,
yes,
that is so important. And oh, I know, I was talking about my mother. Mm-hmm. My mother never had a job outside of the home the whole time we were growing up. And she worked hard. She raised rabbits for meat, and she had gardens and did all this stuff. But then when Dad died, she suddenly had to leave, go out of the home and work.
Right.
And I think Dad had $1,500 in life insurance when he died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, with three kids still at home, that wasn't going very far, was it?
No.
And I remember that she, and at the time, the Social Security for us kids was $330 a month, which is, you know, we're going back a few years, but still was not much. And
was that per child, or?
No, that was for all of us, for all the three that were still at home. And my mom worked hard, and she got a guy to sell her a house on a land contract.
Okay.
For 1 year that she had to finance it. And she worked hard, and she got a job. She worked, she took all the sewing in from the Hilliard dry cleaners, and they did all the band uniforms for the school, the hemming and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So she did that, and they paid her 75 cents an hour to do that. And then
75 cents an hour, whoa.
Even back then, that was nothing.
I know.
And she did, she worked at the school and did school lunches.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked at home. And then she added another job at a nursing home. Here she is trying to raise three kids, too. And she's just working nonstop. And then coming home at night and missing her husband. It was hard. It was really hard. But, you know, she got that house financed.
Good.
And she did some really neat things in her life. She became a full-time art teacher with Southwestern City Schools. However, because the school system she was in was for behavioral problem kids, they didn't require her to have a teaching certificate, which is good because she didn't. She had to go back and get her GED. My mom got married when she was 16. And she went back and got her GED and actually worked for 20 years teaching art. And she was just a wonderful teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The school actually, the school system actually requested that Ohio State give her an honorary degree for all she'd done. And they rejected it and said they would. Who knows why? But I remember that hurt her quite a bit at the time. But she did some neat things. She had a, the White House commissioned her to do an ornament for the tree 1 year. She did just wonderful ceramics and won stuff everywhere. Just a neat lady. But what I'm getting at is it was still so hard on her. She made a point to decide that her kids needed to still be raised right and try to be the best mom she can. And I guess what I'm encouraging people tonight to do is that, you know what, if you're put in that situation,
right,
those kids are going to be raised before you know it.
Yes.
I've got a granddaughter, Lauren. She's getting married in July. And Lauren is, I think she should be 21 when she gets married.
Okay.
And she's got another year of OSUM left. She's going to be a teacher. But what I'm getting at is it just seems like yesterday that I married her mom and her dad, you know.
Right.
And here she is getting ready to go off. And you know, your kids...
Yeah.
Your kids grow up so fast.
They do.
They do. All but one of my kids are 40 now. And, you know, I look at that and I think, you know, that brief time that we raised them was so short. Thank God that he kept my kids in his hand during my difficult years.
Yes.
And I think that one of the greatest things my kids will tell you made them realize the truth of what God can do is they saw the difference between me before I was surrendered to the Lord and after, because they were all still at home.
Oh, okay. So they saw the change.
They saw a huge change.
They knew it was real.
They knew it was real.
Yes.
And they'll tell you that today, and they're all in church today, and their kids are all in church, and praise God for that.
Yes, amen.
But I want to encourage people that, you know, you can do that.
Yes, you can.
You can make a decision. You know, all that God ever asks us to do is to stop, turn, and surrender.
Yes.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Turn, and surrender.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people say they want to accept Jesus, but they don't want to turn and surrender. And you can't do both.
You can't have both ways.
And the hard thing, I think, Linda, in our society today is that we have so ingrained in people's minds that to have a good time,
You've got to sin.
You got to either go out and get drunk. You got to go out and get high.
Right.
You got to spend more money than you have to spend.
Right.
You got to look a certain way, walk a certain way. You got to devote all your time to it. And all of these things, Satan's very clever.
Yes,
he uses to pull us away from the Lord.
Yes, he does.
And there's still that void there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people are getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
That's why marriage, because there's a void and they're trying to fill it.
True.
And if they would just understand that God not only designed them, but he wants them to know the design.
Yes.
But they have to turn.
That's powerful.
Yeah. they have to turn and say, you know what? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then once you start on that way, and I think this is another thing, Linda, where a lot of people, Christians, such as you and I, may drop the ball easily, is that Christians are real good about, you know, well, we better go to church, you know, we better tithe, we better be kind, we better tell people about Jesus. But there's one area that we miss a lot.
What's that?
All through the Bible, we're taught to mentor people.
Yes, we are.
And a lot of times we just want to see them come up that center aisle and say, yes, Jesus, get baptized, and they're good to go. But they're not.
No,
I mean, that's the starting point, not the ending point.
No, it's not.
Right? And we need to come alongside them and mentor them and walk with them, because
disciple
I've seen
them.
It. Disciple them. That's what we do. And that's the main thing we're supposed to do.
Yes.
And I've seen it. I can almost bet on it, if I were a betting man, that when someone walks the aisle, when they decide with tears in their eyes that they want to surrender their life to Jesus, I'll give Satan about 2 days to start attacking them.
Yeah.
And throwing everything in their path that he can, because he doesn't want them to be discipled.
If he waits that long.
He doesn't want them to be discipled.
No.
Because the minute they're discipled, then they're doing work for the Lord and bringing more people to Jesus.
Right.
And he doesn't want that. But people like you and I can come alongside and say, you know what? You're going to have some rough water.
Yes.
You're going to have some hills to climb. But it's going to be all right. There's peaks and valleys.
Yes,
and I'm
going to
be with you in the peaks, and I'll be with you in the valleys.
Yes.
And I think that if Christians did more of that like they're supposed to,
sure.
I think that we would have more people in the church today.
I'm sure you got a point there. I agree with you.
So I look for positive things with this whole virus thing out there. I have been getting so many people call that don't normally call, listen that don't normally listen, ask for prayer. And what I'm going to encourage them to do is don't stop there.
No.
You know, when we're able to get back in the church, come on.
Right.
Come on to church.
We need you.
We need you, and God loves you.
Yes.
And I don't want them to come for their money. You know, that's something that I, as a pastor, decided years ago that I was never going to seek people to come to the church for what they had.
Right.
And the hardest thing for me to do is to talk about money. And when I do talk about money, it's usually how gracious God is when you do surrender to him.
Right.
Not necessarily prosperity gospel. I'm not going there. But I'm saying that
you're leaving it up to the Lord to touch their hearts to give.
Absolutely. And I believe that if people are in the right place, they will give.
Yes, they will.
So I would rather disciple people to grow in the Lord and let the Lord lay it on their heart to give than me beat them over the head and say, you've got to do, because that's not, that's not the kind of giving he wants us to do anyway.
I don't think so, and it turns a lot of people away.
It really does. It really does. I remember years ago, how much time we got? I can't see the clock behind me.
10 minutes.
I remember years ago, we were a small fledgling church just starting. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple churches that helped us out with a couple $100 a month, which, believe me, was a lot back then. And at the time, we had started doing a backpack program at our school where we'd send lunches home with the kids that needed it on the weekend. But we did it every other weekend. We couldn't afford it every week. And anyway, I went to the post office one day, and in 2 days, I got a letter from both churches that they were stopping the support. And not because they didn't like us, but for whatever reason, that support was stopping. And I remember I had just left the post office, and I came home, and went back to church, and I was kind of like, wow, you know, what are we going to do?
Right.
And my daughter came in, and she said, Dad, she said, I was just at the school, and she said, the principal stopped me and said, hey, is there any way you could do those lunches every week? He said, you know, the weeks that you guys don't do that, he said, these kids come in on Monday morning, and they are starved. Some of these kids are not getting fed. And I told her what had happened at the post office, and she said, well, I guess we just got to quit it all together. I said, no. You'd go back and you tell him we're going to do it every week.
Right.
And I told the church that Sunday, we had always been a church that had prayed for people to come with provision because we struggled. Mm-hmm. It was a struggle every month. Lord, please send us someone that can help.
Right.
And from that point on, the prayer was, Lord, please send us anyone that needs you. And I could care less for their dead broke or who they are.
Right.
Just send us people that need you.
Right.
And do you know, Linda, since that day, we have never been short 1 month.
Isn't that something?
Because
you took your focus off the material, the monetary.
Took the money, took the focus off and said, Lord, this is about people coming to know you and loving you.
It's about him.
And you can take all those people with money, and if you want to send them, that's your business, but I could care less. And you know, something I've always done as a pastor, this is kind of odd, I think, for some people too. I don't know what anyone gives, and I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to feel guilty if they're not, and I don't want them to feel haughty if they do.
There you go. That's the problem with the church, because they harp on tithes so much, they run people away, and they make people feel guilty. If they don't we have to live. You know, you have to live. I don't mind giving. But maybe I can't give you my 10%
that week.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know, we have, and I'll tell you the truth, since that day too, those people have come to the church that have had great means, but we didn't ask the Lord to send them.
Right.
And they came, and they're wonderful additions to the church. And people have been so generous. We've had some unbelievable gifts in our church.
See there?
But that is God working with them. It's not me ringing somebody
but
out.
But you made it about God.
We made it about God. And it stays about God.
Yes.
And what a joy it is. You know, it's hard enough when you're concerned about your bills at home. And you give that to the Lord. But if you're double timing, if you're sweating over your bills at home and then sweating over the church bills too, you know, where's the room for ministry in that?
You don't have it.
You don't have it. You don't have the heart.
No.
And the gracious thing is with God is, as I learn to grow and depend on Him more, I don't worry about the church bills, but I don't worry about mine either.
Isn't that something?
And God's been providing. He provides. He just does. And he's so gracious that way. And that's why I really want, and it's kind of the purpose of this show, part of it, is get the general public out there who's listening to understand how awesome of a God we have.
Yes.
And how great it is to walk with Him and live with Him. I'm not gonna beat a drum for any denomination. I'm not going to beat a drum for anything. I mean, we are all children of God.
Amen.
When we are part of His kingdom, when we accept Him as Lord and Savior, we are the church.
Yes, we are.
And I don't care if you're Japanese, Asian, Korean, black, white, old, young, smart, dumb, fat, skinny. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
We've separated ourselves by so many barriers that should never even be there to begin
with.
There's
one God, one heaven, and one hell.
There's one heaven and one hell. But you know, it's interesting because Satan's pretty smart.
Yes,
you've heard this before. any good strategist in military says the best way to win is divide and conquer.
Yes.
And Satan has divided us to conquer. Now, he's not going to conquer eventually. We know who wins this game.
Yes.
It's the Lord. But he's done a good job of separating Christians into different groups that they think is the right group. And nobody's reaching the lost the way they should.
No.
Because how many times do you go to reach someone and they say, you know, I don't know. All you Christians do is fight amongst each other. Or, you know, I don't
all
know
you
if
want
I...
is money.
I don't know if I can come to your Baptist church. I was raised Lutheran.
Yeah.
What's that all about? You know, we're there to serve Jesus.
Right.
You know, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Right.
Not some denominational name.
No.
And, you know, it's so many people are not, they can't see the forest for the trees.
That's true.
And
to but you know, the commandment of men have made the power of God of none effect. It's not effective if we're going to dissect it. And you, like you're saying, you're over here, you're Methodist, or you're Pentecost, or you're holy people over here. So what are we doing?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things we really have to think long and hard about is who's making the rules and why.
Right.
And are they man's rules or God's rules?
Man's.
And if we follow the Word of God, all he asks us to do is to believe his Word from cover
right.
to cover.
Right.
And to follow it, and he'll
that's
lead
right.
us. And if we as Christians can do that, there's nothing that can come between us. You know what I mean?
That's
just
true.
Like in a marriage, if a husband is 100% committed to his wife, putting her before himself, and if wife is 100% committed to her husband, putting her before himself,
right.
nothing can come between them.
That's true.
And it's the same way with the church. If we put God first, his word first, and his authority first,
yes.
nothing can come between us.
Nothing.
We need to be worshiping right alongside each other, praying for one another.
Right.
And I was brought up in the division.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was brought up in a church. I remember driving by a church, sitting in the back seat in our car, you know, coming home from church one Sunday morning and seeing all these people coming out of this church. And it was a church much different than ours. And through my little mind, went, oh, how sad, all those people are going to hell. You know?
Right.
And they weren't. I mean, I didn't know who
no.
they were, what they
that's
were, what they believed.
Judge, right?
But we were taught these divisions, and
that's
should,
true.
They shouldn't be there.
No, they shouldn't.
And,
not be
you know, I think we're about out of time, aren't we?
We got 4 minutes.
We got 4 minutes left?
Four
that's
minutes.
Exciting. Well, in the 4 minutes, let me tell you folks some things that are going on. In Prospect, we are going to come up with some things this summer for you kids to do. And I know there's a lot of talk right now with a lot of different people that want to do some exciting things to get you guys out of the house and just make a fun time. The plans are in the works. I don't want to say anything yet because the people doing them, that's their deal. And I don't want to spoil that or misquote. But we're going to have things for you kids to do. And get your kids outside. Let them breathe. Let them get some air. Take them fishing. Fishing's cheap, guys. We got a river runs right through town. Take them down to the riverbank. But no, there's so many things we can do just to get out and breathe and take a bike ride. Also, I want to tell you guys, if you got a kid out there that needs a bike and doesn't have one, please get a hold of me. I have access to bicycles through a great friend of mine. And he is supplying us with bicycles for kids that need them. So if you need a kid that you have a kid that needs a bike, you know, try to get a hold of me, and we'll get that done. Other than that, I think we're going to start back to church on the 31st.
Are you?
We're going to go to two services, 9:30 and 10:45. 9:30 will be senior citizens and those that feel compromised.
Okay.
So we can get them in. Once they leave, we'll disinfect again, and then the kids will come. The kids will go directly to the mission house for Sunday school, and the parents will come into the main church. And we've got to figure out to where we can separate families by distance. Not individuals, but
right.
families.
Families.
And
yes.
I think it's going to work out great. I look forward to it. We're going to have sanitizer and gloves and masks on hand. So it'll be good for everyone. I'm trusting the Lord through this one. Aren't you, Linda?
Of course. We opened up Sunday. We have three options. You can go inside, march inside along with the pastor, or you can stay in the parking lot and get him on the FM radio, or stay at home and watch him on YouTube. JC Church Facebook.
Well, that's great.
That is, about three options. Yeah.
I think we're going to be doing some transmitting here shortly, but I'm not sure how and when. Are we done?
Are we in the last...
Yeah. We're done.
A few seconds.
God bless you guys. Take care. Have a good week. God loves you.
Amen. Amen.
See, that went quick. Right?
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for...